Before we start the rest of the calendar, we have a guest here to welcome, who's Mayor Ito Katsumi, who's the mayor of Gosen City, Japan, who's here for a visit to Portland. I want to welcome him and say welcome to Portland. Thank you for coming.
It's up there? We just can't see. I got to be progress.
All right. We'll move on to the consent calendar. I believe we have a request from Commissioner Fish to pull back item 757 to
take that back to my office.
Office. Yes. Any objection? Any other items to be pulled or taken back to council offices?
Let me read the title for 757. Is authorized grant agreement with Southwest Neighbors, Inc. to provide education, outreach, and community involvement for watershed projects in Fano, Tryon, and Willamette watersheds up to $73,000 for fiscal year 2013-14.
Okay, that's returned to Commissioner Fish. Any other items to be pulled? And if not, then a roll call on the balance of the consent calendar.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Time certain, item 750.
Transmit report on the City of Portland electronic record keeping, a roadmap to improved practices and compliance.
Auditor Griffin Valle, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and Council. I'm LaVon Griffin Valle, City Auditor, and I'm here just to very briefly introduce from the Auditor's Office, the team from the Auditor's Office presenting our report on the City's electronic record keeping system. Chief Deputy Auditor Sarah Landis will be leading the presentation along with Tim Hunt, Records Analyst in the Archives and Records Management Division. I want to thank them for their hard work and their leadership in managing this really important part of city government's business infrastructure. I would also like to thank the Citywide TRIM Steering Committee who helped us on this project. 9 other bureaus contributed staff time to this effort and assisted us with developing recommendations for an expanded rollout of TRIM. Finally, I would like to share my appreciation for the 3 very busy bureau directors who will join us as guest presenters this morning, Anna Canwit from HR, Jim Van Dyke from the City Attorney's Office, and Ben Berry from the Bureau of Technology Services. Now I'll turn it over to Sarah. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you very much for the opportunity to share this report with you. I think Tim is going to pull up the slideshow. The purpose of this presentation is to provide you with a status update on the city's electronic record-keeping efforts. We want to remind Council about the risks of not properly managing the city's information and document assets, specifically electronic records. We also want to present the recommendations of the Citywide TRIM Steering Committee that LaVon referenced that was convened to look into TRIM implementation. For those of you who may be unfamiliar with TRIM, it's the electronic records management system purchased by the city and administered through the Archives and Records Management Division in the Auditor's Office. This report is our best thinking by our office and members of the steering committee on how we can make improvements and why we need to. There is a lot of detail in the report, and it raises a number of questions about how the city can improve its practices. I'm going to keep my presentation at a very high level today, but we're happy to go over the report in more detail with you at your convenience if you'd like. Next slide. So why this report? The information environment that drove this office 12 years ago to undertake serious efforts to improve the city's electronic records management practices has grown in both scope and complexity since that time. City policies put in place to guide bureaus are not universally followed. A technology solution exists and is owned by the city but is not available to all employees. Myths prevail about data being backed up and preserved. Costs of recovering data rise because there's no unified logic in how it is structured. storage costs rise because of duplicative records, and retention requirements are inconsistently applied. The city's records and information are an important infrastructure asset, much like its building, street, or sewer lines, and ignoring these assets puts the city at legal and financial risk in the future. We've tried to capture those risks in this report, but perhaps a visual image will help. This is a photo of boxes holding thousands of the city's paper records. They are being professionally cataloged, managed, and stored in our Archives and Records Center. If you need a document, you will be able to find it. This is not a photo of city records, but I thought it a fitting metaphor for how many in the city generally handle their electronic records. The flood of email and electronic documents that employees receive and create get dumped into drives and giant PST files, so that if you need to find a document, it might be like searching through this dump. The record is there, but finding it is extremely difficult. While our management of our paper records is generally good, we are required to treat electronic records the same way we do paper records, and we have a long way to go before we're there. This slide outlines the benefits both to city employees and to the public of a good electronic records management system. A few of these benefits are ease of access to information, historic or life cycle preservation, compliance with laws and rules, and greater transparency to the public. For those of you who aren't familiar with our terminology, e-files is the public-facing interface with TRIM, and it allows the public or employees to search and view documents in TRIM that bureaus have designated for open access. You may be most familiar with e-files in your search for past council documents. So what are the problems with the current practices? The status of electronic record keeping efforts in the city is spotty. In general, we found a lack of compliance with the rules, risk of losing records with long-term retention value, lack of strong lines of responsibility and accountability for records, records that are largely uncontrolled or dumped in large folders or deleted without proper retention. Citywide, there is a strong need for more tools and training, and there is a lack of funding to support a long-term strategy to ensure citywide compliance. Here we're showing some of the deployments we've helped implement around the city, as well as some statistics from the last fiscal year. Council records, city personnel files and contracts, police incident reports, Bureau of Environmental Services project files, elected officials correspondence, and BDS, Bureau of Development Services permit records are all some of the implementations of TRIM that we've been successful with. Most deployments, such as the ones I just mentioned, have been to specific areas in bureaus where TRIM meets a specific records management need, although there has been scattered implementation to individuals and to entire bureaus. There are currently over 1,100 active users of TRIM and hundreds of thousands of documents being managed and viewed in the system. This is a sort of busy slide, but we pulled this out to give you a flavor of what people are looking at. It's the most often viewed records in e-files since last July. It shows the diversity of information that's available and of interest to the public and internally. So the first most commonly viewed file with almost 5,400 views was an agenda from a Bureau of Development Services Design Commission meeting in 2012. And if you go down the list to the last record there, number 10 with over 1,100 views, the 10th most popular document was minutes from a Docs Commission meeting in 1951.
I want to look that one up there.
That's related to the Superfund research that's going on.
Yeah, right.
But it shows the wealth of what we have in the system, and it also kind of highlights the risk of what we might be losing if we don't get a better handle on our records. The next slide is a high-level timeline of where we've been with electronic record-keeping efforts. In 1999, we made our first request for funding before council, and were successful in that request.
Excuse me.
In 2001, the first TRIM licenses were purchased, and the first implementations began. In 2006, funding for citywide TRIM implementation was requested, but was not supported by council at that time until additional research and work was done. In 2009, an ordinance was passed and administrative rules were adopted to give clarity to the roles and responsibilities for bureau directors and employees, and to beef up expectations for electronic record keeping. In 2011, despite all this effort, we're still seeing city bureaus struggle with their records. There was increased interest from bureaus in getting TRIBM established, but we're at a tipping point in terms of exhausting current licenses and staff resources. So we convened the TRIBM Steering Committee to help us get a handle on these issues for the future. The TRIBM Steering Committee was convened, as I said, to help guide our office to improve record-keeping practices across the city and furthering implementation of TRIBM. It recommended priorities, plan timelines, and objectives, and identified the funding and staffing resources necessary for a citywide implementation. As part of the work that the steering committee conducted, we did a record-keeping survey to get a sense of the needs for record-keeping help in bureaus. This survey was aimed at management-level contacts who had a general sense of record-keeping activities in their bureaus. The results were in some ways worse than we had feared. The next slide will highlight just a few of the results from that survey. There was a strong awareness among a group of the administrative rule that applies to electronic records, but it was not universal, even among those who were identified by bureau directors as the records specialists in their bureaus. Respondents were split on whether or not staff were aware of retention schedules governing their records, and there really were not strong results in having procedures to identify and retain official records, and there was no strong process for retention and purging of unneeded records. We believe that the results of this survey are indicative of the general trends we've been seeing overall in the city. So based on discussions, this survey, and other information gathering that the steering committee did, the committee developed findings and then corresponding recommendations to improve electronic record keeping and expand deployment of TRIBM citywide. Recommendations include ensuring records management responsibilities are understood and accepted, establishing an advisory committee to ensure input from bureaus, enhancing training, monitoring and enforcing compliance with the laws and rules, encouraging best practices and compliance with the rules, developing a funding model to support program growth, and expanding TRIBM based on the priorities identified by the committee. The steering committee left development of a plan to implement the recommendations to the auditor's office. We've outlined a draft 5-year implementation plan in this report and in the appendix of the report provided to you. There are sections on policy and governance, training, TRIBM administration and testing, staffing, finance, scheduling, compliance and monitoring, and software and IT infrastructure. We see this plan as a starting point to raise Council's awareness of our concerns and the risks to the city and to explore what resources are needed to fully capitalize on the early investments we made in TRIBM. We hope to sustain the momentum we currently have and to ensure that we don't lose our ability to provide transparency, ease of access to information, and long-term preservation of those records we produce today that will be tomorrow's historical asset. We'll plan on coming to Council with a funding proposal during the next budget cycle, and as I mentioned earlier, we can provide any additional details or conversation about the plan at that time or individually with Council members or staff. We're happy to answer any questions you might have about this presentation, but first, we've asked Bureau Directors Anna Canwit, Jim Van Dyke, and Ben Berry to each say a few words about their perspectives on improving the city's electronic record-keeping practices.
Okay, great. Thank you. Come on up, and then we'll see if there are questions for any of the team. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, City Auditor. I'm Ben Berry. I'm the Chief Technology Officer for the City of Portland. I'm the Bureau Director for the Business for the Bureau of Technology Services. I'm going to read my comments this morning, Mr. Mayor. BTS is keenly aware of the scale and the proliferation of email and electronic records. First, the cost of dumping electronic records into storage is growing and won't decrease until documents and data are deleted based on their retention schedules. Bureaus are responsible for adopting retention schedules. And secondly, BTS is often called on to search those records, and this is an extremely expensive and time-consuming effort in the current environment. BTS backups are performed for short-term recovery purposes and do not constitute compliance with retention laws and best practices. Proper records management reduces the unnecessary duplication of data, secures records from accidental destruction, and applies a structure that helps both employees and the public find the information they need. Our records and electronic records contain information that must be managed just like any other city asset. BTS recognizes the efforts to improve the city's electronic records management and rollout of TRIM must be a partnership between BTS as the infrastructure providers, the Auditor's Office as the policy and technical assistance body, and the bureaus as the owners of the records. I have committed BTS to this partnership and will work closely with the Auditor's Office. We also recognize that we have multiple electronic record systems here in the city, such as TRIM, SAP, and Microsoft 365, soon to come online. As we work through the citywide technology assessment initiative, we can better identify the best use of these electronic records platforms and how best to fully implement these technologies and integrate them for the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next?
Okay. Anna Canwit, Director of Bureau of Human Resources. Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. What I'm going to talk about a little bit is our, in the Bureau of Human Resources, use of TRIM and its value to us. We have moved to TRIM for the maintenance of the personnel files, the official personnel files for all employees, all of the discipline documents, and all of the medical files, including family medical leave and Oregon family medical leave documents. The advantages are many. Key is confidentiality of those records, the ability to separate them into create subfolders so that we can restrict access to those files only to those who have clearance to look at those important documents. But the other advantage is, at the same time, multiple people who have that access can view the documents at the same time. So we don't have to print the documents out and provide copies. And partly, whenever you do that, there is a risk that those copies end up in the wrong place and are not, the confidentiality that's so important is not maintained. Archiving is way easier with the electronic files. We do scan them in, and then they are documented. They have the date set for destruction, so that shows up when the documents are appropriate for destruction under our records policies. It very much reduces the workload if you Sarah showed in the PowerPoint, to archive them in the center. Although it's a wonderful center, we have to place them in boxes. We have to be sure the boxes are appropriately marked so we can find what's in there again, and marked so that documents that should be destroyed are. So it's a huge workload savings for us to be using TRIM. Finally, of course, the documents in TRIM cannot be edited, so that's another safety feature with the documents that we maintain. So overall, although, there isn't a cost savings per se for our Bureau to be using this for these important records, it certainly creates efficiencies for us, and those will be greater as we move to more and more electronic-based systems, and we are moving less paper and changing that into electronic documents. So we've had very good experience using TRIM for, as I said, these important employee records. Thank you.
Jim.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Jim Van Dyke, City Attorney's Office. I've been asked to say a few words about the perspective of keeping good records from a legal perspective. And as you know, we have requirements imposed upon the city by state law to keep public records and to establish retention schedules for public records. Our office assists bureaus when they have public records requests, and we have encountered many times problems trying to recover those records to provide them as we're required to do by law. Obviously, when we're unable to do that or we have to go back multiple times and trying to find the records, it damages the city's credibility. And that's a very valuable commodity. So record retention is very important, I think, from that standpoint, both to comply with state law and from our own credibility standpoint. We also have responsibilities imposed by law when it comes to litigation and potential litigation. We are required by the courts to produce documents responsive to people's requests in the litigation. We need to do that. If we don't do that in a timely and responsive manner, We can be fined by the courts. They can impose penalties on us. And, of course, just the mere failure to discover the records that we need can hurt us in a litigation perspective. So from our perspective, from our office's perspective, we need a good electronics records retention system. I want to thank the city auditor's office for working with us on this. I also want to thank Ben Berry of BTS because we're also collaborating with him on this. In fact, we have a meeting scheduled for tomorrow morning to work on one aspect of electronic records retentions.
Great. Thank you. Go on. I know there's some questions from council. I'm not sure if it's for you or for the auditor.
Yeah, I'll start with just now if I could. First to Ben. Ben, we've set up a technology oversight committee, which reports to the council on a regular basis on all of the new technology projects to make sure we're on time, under budget, and flagging issues that come up. And I think I, along with my colleagues, have found that very helpful to have a regular oversight body coming, bringing problems to our attention upstream and giving us ongoing reports. Do you think that might be the model for how we take the recommendations and implement it here in terms of an oversight process?
Commissioner Fish, fellow commissioners, and Mayor Hales, I think we could look at that directly, and I think TRIM has actually presented at TLC early on when I was on the TLC, and I'd like to test that question with the TLC and bring back an answer to you. But I think that body is an oversight team that could play a role in review as we implement.
And I think you're actually in a very good position to evaluate. We have different models of oversight bodies and reporting to council. Some work less well than others. And I'd be interested in your thoughts about what a high-functioning, should it be independent of staff? Or should it be staff-supported with an independent group? Should it be alternatively composed of senior leaders within the city? How best do you get compliance? Because I think some of the data here is pretty alarming about the slippage. So how do you get people's attention and make sure that consistent policies are applied and enforced?
Commissioner Fish, one of the things that the technology assessment will ferret out is a high-level governance structure for enterprise-wide initiatives, which would have bureau directors sitting on that enterprise governance structure along with staff support. I'm hoping to see that kind of a recommendation and the structure for that, which could, in fact, enable what you're discussing now.
Good. And to the city attorney, you know, the sense that I often get is that you have a manpower person. You have a problem of bodies that can handle the current workflow. And public records requests are coming with greater frequency from the media and from citizens. They are more and more involved, and it, you know, as we know, takes a lot of time to get it right. And you can't just do a document dump. One of your obligations is to screen the documents to make sure nothing that's privileged or confidential or that contains information protected under privacy laws is disclosed. So that it isn't just simply identifying documents that might be responsive. They have to be reviewed to make sure we don't violate people's rights in the disclosure of those documents. Do you believe that you can step up and meet your component of this project without additional bodies?
Commissioner Fish, Mayor, other commissioners, I think we're hanging on by our fingernails right now in terms of the number that we're getting in, so that if we get a flood more in, we're going to have a problem. This isn't, to be fair, this isn't a problem I've particularly identified before to council, but we have long talked within the office about identifying a particular attorney to handle all the public records requests that come in, because they develop a particular expertise. They work with the district attorney's office. If those matters get appealed, it provides consistency of advice. There's a lot of good reasons for doing that, but at present, we're not able, I don't feel like we're able to designate a particular person just because of the volume.
So, Mayor, you know, we do have this innovation fund that you mm-hmm. set aside. My guess is if we look at best practices, there are dedicated people in other cities that are responsible for public records, records requests, compliance, and record-keeping retention. One of the things that's come up, which is a new twist, which is adds a different, another layer of complexity, is Often we get two kinds of requests for the same document. One is in connection with litigation, where Jim's office compiles documents, and then at some point subsequently a public record comes in. And the truth is, in order for us to be consistent and thorough, we actually need to cross-reference those two. We need to make sure that the public record request picks up any documents that the lawyers found through discovery that are arguably responsive and vice versa. And ultimately, if we don't link those up, we are putting our credibility at risk. Because if we're giving one set of documents to a reporter, another set of documents to a lawyer, that's where we can get into trouble. And if the goal is to make sure we produce everything that we are legally required to, it's very time intensive. And I just wonder, rather than just keep putting this off for further study and more data that's somewhat discouraging, maybe we ought to look at this as, you know, through the innovation fund or even through our reserves, to have a dedicated person who really becomes the quarterback, who in turn guides us through all these recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's worth looking at. Yeah. I mean, the other hope, of course, with technology, it's not just a hope, it's a pattern, is that the search capabilities keep getting better and the user-friendliness of the software keeps getting better, so that the ability of those of us who have other things to do to operate the system is improved, you know, that it doesn't get more and more arcane, that it gets more and more usable for folks that have other responsibilities. How fast is that curve, you know, rising, you know, versus the workload curve? I don't know, but that's...
Well, and I think, but the concern that I have is every day we read in the paper of some breach of privacy in some private sector setting. And some of that is just bad technology, sloppy oversight, but we actually are custodians of information that we are not legally allowed to share with people.
Right.
HR files, confidential advice from attorneys on matters, all kinds of things. And they often show up as attachments or email trees or they get forwarded. And I think we're probably at a point where having someone who is the public record czar, who has expertise in centralized in Jim's office, working in the auditor's office, is probably long overdue.
Worth exploring. Thank you. Other questions for our bureau directors or for the auditor team?
I have a question for the auditor's team.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You. Well, first, thank you for bringing this report and indeed for the services that you provide with TRIM. I got many trainings in my first week in office in 2009, and I think the one on public records retention and how to do it was perhaps the most helpful and memorable. And in particular, once a Lord Brian Brown in your office who has helped set up my TRIM so that it's just automatic. And I find it the most helpful electronic tool that I have, even notwithstanding my calendar and everything else, because it's searchable and I can access it. And I think it's for... I'm surprised that the utilization is so low, given that it's such a great tool and so easy to use. My first question is, what does TRIM stand for?
Yeah, it stands for Total Records and Information Management.
And that's just what it does. So I think that's excellent to know. And then my second question is, can you, as a follow-up, get me a breakdown? I noticed that you have 1,100 folks using, city staff working, using TRIM. I'd like to get a breakdown by bureau of who is and who isn't. I'm delighted right. that the Bureau of Development Services has the most hits on that one particular item. But I'd like to know so that I can provide some accountability and so that I can measure how many staff in my bureaus are using it. And see some progress in that. So would that be possible
Absolutely.
To get me that?
Yeah,
and
good suggestion.
Bureau of Development Services has just completed, I think, a new project that pulls plans and into Portland maps, and those plans reside in e-files. Is that correct?
TRIM,
so
right.
That's a great interface between the new system that they're using and TRIM, and just sort of shows the power of being able to integrate, you know, our data with the other tools that we need. And so that's been a great project.
That's a good suggestion. Why don't you provide that information to all five of us, because I'd like to see that as well.
Absolutely.
And then I'll follow up with Ben Berry and Technology Services. I'm presuming that the new computer at Bureau of Development Services will be able to talk to TRIM. Do you know that already?
Are you referring to the ITAP?
Yes.
Yes, that is the plan.
But yes. I think obviously moving forward, that's another check on our technology oversight committee and others to make sure that since we've got a system that's working, we make sure that everything else plugs into that. So thank you very much both for this report and for your service on this. It's made my life immeasurably easier.
You know, you've highlighted Administrative Rule 8.12, and we have some experience with rules that are particularly important where annual refreshers are useful, particularly in a time where you have new staff people coming, new electeds. Is it your view that the council would benefit from an annual in-office tutorial on 8.12?
I think that's a fantastic idea, and ultimately we'd like for acknowledgement of 8.12 to be part of what every city employee acknowledges on an annual basis, and to include that kind of training in onboarding for new employees once HR has that up, but definitely an annual refresher for council.
Having watched Anna and her crack team take 2.02, exactly, which is an HR rule, and turn it into a box you check when you're hired, and then a requirement of training, and then subsequent follow-up, I would strongly encourage HR to work with you to set up 8.12 for the same purpose, and at a minimum, make sure that the council offices and bureau directors get that training, and you have the benefit of bureau directors meeting as a group, and then council offices meet. You in your recommendations, you talk about wanting some dedicated funding and what a system would look like. Have you put pen to paper on what that would look like?
We have. It's almost a year old at this point, the figures, but the steering committee recommended that we look at a 5-year implementation for the system, and it has components of purchasing additional licenses, getting additional staff resources for us, both for training and for the management of the infrastructure, and then for assisting with a rollout, and that kind of builds up in year 3 and then comes back down in year 5. But it is, we have fleshed that out.
So can you furnish that with the council?
It is in your report, and I can pull it out as a separate document for you and be happy to brief you on those.
Maybe highlight it.
In the report, I'm looking at the PowerPoint. What you're saying is in the
report document.
Appendix
so.
C3, I believe.
Yeah, Appendix C3.
Okay.
And then Appendix D sort of is the outline of what our plan year by year for the 5-year rollout would look like.
And so the proposed expenditures in C3 will start to show up as budget proposals? Is that how that comes forward?
That's what we're hoping to do this year. We had planned to come with this report and a proposal last year, but clearly the environment for budget requests was not good at that point. So the steering committee advised that we wait until this year to come forward with a proposal.
Do you have an opinion as to whether we would benefit from having a public records czar located either in the city attorney's office or in the auditor's office?
I think it would be a great idea to have somebody dedicated to coordinating all of the requirements because they are different. The public records requirements that we have for just managing the city records are different than the litigation requirements and legal holds that have to be put on things. I think it would be a good idea to have somebody who had as their sole responsibility pulling together a system that did that.
And just again, because I mentioned it when Jim was here, I think having the left hand and the right hand track disclosure through discovery with public records is useful because we have got to make sure we're consistent in producing the same documents, even if they come as requests in different ways.
Yeah, I agree.
I have one more question. And the other tracking system we have is called TrackIt. How does TrackIt interact with TRIM?
There is no direct interaction between TrackIt and TRIM, to my knowledge. TrackIt, I think, is, I'm not especially familiar with TrackIt, the functionality of that.
I think TrackIt is a system to just track a request for something through to the end, but that is not being cataloged in TRIM at this point.
So that's something that we might want to add in as we look at expanding the system, because that when people fill out a contact form on Portland Online, it tends to go to TrackIt rather, and so to have a mechanism to make sure that when we ask for public records, for example, but also from my own knowledge that if I ask I don't have to ask in both places. And Trackit doesn't have as much search capacity, in my experience, as Trim does. So that would be really helpful to be able to get Trackits into Trim so that then we could just search in one place.
That's a great idea. Thank you.
Other questions, comments, council? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we have anyone signed up to testify on this?
One person, Mary Ng.
Are you still here? Okay. I think she's left. So I believe what we need is a motion to accept
to adopt
the report.
And
I think we're accepting, not necessarily adopting in this
accepting,
case,
excuse me.
Because we have budget proposals involved in it.
Motion to accept.
Is that right, Sarah?
I actually don't think there's any vote required on this report. It was just a presentation. We'll be fleshing out the details of the plan and the budget later.
So you don't need us to accept the report in order to move forward?
If we accept it, it gives us an opportunity just to comment on it.
So we'll accept it anyway.
Okay.
Thank
and
you.
It goes into the records.
Excellent.
Thank you. Any further council comments for a roll call on accepting the report? Roll call, please.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for your report. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your service. This is important both to help us get our work done and to be accountable to the public. Aye.
Fish.
Excellent report. And what I'd particularly like to see coming out of this process is a menu of options for what the oversight body would look like and how we actually are able to get compliance across bureaus. Two, whether a public records czar of some type would be valuable. Reminded that I think one of the first people that President Obama hired was a regulatory czar with an instruction that no new regs could be promulgated at the agency level without going through this person. And given the volume of public records requests and other requests for information, I think it's probably long overdue that we are coordinated. And having someone who specializes in that and with an idea of making sure the public gets timely and comprehensive responses, I think is very important. So thank you for your excellent work. Bye.
Hales.
Yeah, thanks for this important and thorough look at the management problem that we have. Very important. Just one comment I'd make is it just seems to me that we're in this avalanche of technological change and information overload. And government needs to be following those trends, but be far enough behind the curve that other people try things out before we do, but not so far behind the curve that we're getting out of touch or inefficient. And again, my sense is just that the rate of change isn't slowing down. We're in the process of installing in-car cameras in some of our police vehicles. They download data when they come back to the precinct. There are huge amounts of data to manage and privacy issues to discuss as a community as we implement that. I think I've told you some of the story. I was at the U.S. Conference of Mayors meeting and got to try out the prototype Google glasses, in which there's a camera and an internet transponder here. Imagine, both with anticipation and perhaps with recoiling, if each of our firefighters and police officers were equipped with such a device as they did their work. We would have little doubt about what happened at each incident and almost no privacy as a community if those records were generally available. So how do we balance those changes that come with this technology? It's going to be an ongoing discussion as a community and in-house with our experts in your office and Ben Berry's office and elsewhere. But my sense is we're going to be talking about these subjects a lot because the pace of change is accelerating and the amount of data that we have to manage and how people want to get to that data is changing just as fast. So thanks for this look at where we are today. Thank you. Aye. Good work. Okay, let's move on to the regular agenda.
Item 758, authorize an alternative selection process for the compliance officer and community liaison contract to comply with the City of Portland and Department of Justice settlement agreement.
Let me start by thanking Commissioner Fritz for her work on this. She's focused on this. This is one of the questions that she's focused on in the Department of Justice settlement. Very important matter of how we select this critical staff person and how we make sure that we're doing that in a way that works. So a call for resumes as opposed to a more formal RFQ process or an RFP process is before us. I think this is a great idea. It will allow a larger pool of applicants to submit for the position and attract more and more diverse candidates. The council is going to continue to work with the community and with the police bureau and everywhere else in the implementation of this settlement agreement, but this is an important step. I'm going to get this in front of the community and the council today. And again, Commissioner Fritz, thank you for your leadership on this.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for your partnership. There is a new spirit of cooperation and collaboration, I believe, that embraces the community as well as the council. I'm going to read from the ordinance, which was prepared by Ellen Osnuck in the city's attorney's office, who has been our lead on this and has done stellar work. She's not able to be here today. The City of Portland has entered into the settlement agreement with the United States Department of Justice to improve the policies and practice of the Portland Police Bureau relating to serving or responding to individuals experiencing mental illness. And, of course, as we all know, the court has not yet determined that the agreement is final. However, we have entered into that agreement. And when we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, there was general agreement that we should not wait until the court has finalized the agreement to start moving on some of these critical elements. We also discussed how we would put this, I would put this with the mayor on today's agenda so that we do absolutely every step of the process in an open and transparent and accountable manner so that everybody can comment. So that's what we're doing today. So the agreement specifies that the city is responsible for hiring a compliance officer, community liaison, to perform the duties identified in the agreement. And again, that means that the duties are identified in the settlement agreement, which may or may not change, but a regular process would include a request for proposals to say, how are you going to do this? That may be part of what we'll be asking for in this alternative process, but what the compliance officer is going to do is laid out in the settlement agreement. We won't need to discuss that. What we will need to do is to make sure that we get the right person who will be responsive to the community as well as to perform the identified tasks. So in March of this year, I organized a council coordinating committee for the purpose of coordinating the office of all the elected officials, including the city auditor. We are all partners in making sure that the settlement is the items in the settlement are accomplished and that we improve trust with our community. So that's why we're here today to discuss how we're going to hire the compliance officer community liaison who will independently examine and synthesize the data for the purposes of reporting to the City Council, the United States Department of Justice, and the public on the city's compliance with the agreement. The compliance officer community liaison, sometimes known as the COCL, which I think is an unfortunate acronym, but there we are, will create and chair the Community Oversight Advisory Board, known as the COAB, also not particularly helpful, and hold public meetings. The COCL is responsible for collecting, reviewing, reporting on data related to the Portland Police Bureau's interactions with persons experiencing a mental health crisis, use of force, Portland Police Bureau supervision, and management of force and training. The agreement requires that the top three finalists for this position will be publicly announced and for the community to have the opportunity to provide public testimony on those candidates. Then the person chosen will be selected by the City Council following a public vetting process. We want to start this process by starting, not by using a request for proposals, but rather this request for resumes or some alternative process, which I will be inviting community stakeholder groups to join with me. One of those identified groups is the Albina Ministerial Alliance that we had the agreement with 2 weeks ago. I've discussed this in concept with the leadership of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and they felt comfortable moving forward with this proposal, even though we haven't absolutely fleshed out exactly how it's going to be done. It's, as I said, important to get things done in a step-by-step manner. To do that, we have to do it in a public forum rather than behind the scenes, and so that's what we're doing today. And so we will be hopefully adopting the solicitation requirements, waiving the solicitation requirements of City Code 5.68 and having an alternative selection process. And just to give an example, Mayor Adams and now Mayor Hales are using this alternative request for proposals to review for rebidding the contract on the police psychological evaluation. And from what I've heard, that alternative process has resulted in much more community confidence, as well as Mayor Hale said, in increasing the diversity and scope of folks who felt that they wanted to apply. sometimes, I know this will come as a shock to the viewing public, but sometimes our city processes are a little difficult to navigate, and we're hoping that this alternative process will be a lot clearer as to encouraging people to apply. And then we'll have a selection process which will include community stakeholders to figure out which three candidates to put forward for the public vetting process. Does anybody on the council have a question about that?
Yes. So I guess I'm confused a little bit. The COCL, the community compliance person, is not going to be a city employee. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it could be a firm, I mean, as opposed to an individual. Is that also correct?
No, the settlement agreement says it's an individual. So it could be a person in a firm, but we would be contracting with a person, not with the company.
And then
paid for by the city, obviously, but not a direct employee. Right?
And so this alternative process that we're looking to adopt today is not without precedent. So
right.
You're just saying the mayor has used it for selecting the police psychologist?
Correct. And it's also recommended by Christine Moody, the chief procurement officer, who also helped draft this ordinance.
Great, thanks.
Commissioner, I just want to be absolutely sure of that, because I've actually gotten conflicting answers to that question about whether it can be an individual or a firm.
The discussion that we had at the coordinating committee yesterday was that it will be an individual. As I said, Ellen Osnuck's out of town this week, so we can... we can clarify that. This process doesn't exclude that. But those who are familiar with the agreement believe that it is an individual rather than a company.
I also have to say that I'm deeply disappointed to hear that the proper pronunciation is COCL, because I had thought that it was COCL and that was deliberate, with the goal being to have a process that leads to police reform that warms the cockles of our hearts. So I deeply regret that I've been mispronouncing
it. We try to supply you puns on a regular basis, Commissioner Novick, but this time maybe not. I think the fine point about an individual versus a firm is not just a fine point. I think in terms of accountability, that the community is going to want to know that's the person that we, the community, have been involved in selecting, that the city council in the light of day had a process, picked somebody, you know, the buck stops there. And, you know, having been part of a consulting firm and part of my career, there are times when a client, in this case it's going to be the City of Portland, says, we want that person. And we'll have the ability to do that if the selected individual is somebody who's part of a firm. But I think for everybody's sake, there shouldn't be any fuzziness about this responsibility. There ought to be a person who is in this role.
Another question. Will the selection process, I believe we have hiring preferences for veterans in our normal hiring process. Will those preferences for veterans and what other preferences, will those be applicable here?
Good question. I'm not sure.
I don't know the answer to that either, but I would assume so.
Maybe our city attorney can check that.
Are we voting on this today?
We're not voting on the specific process. We're just saying that we're waiving the standard process,
right,
and that we're going to figure out the new process and bring that to council along with. There'll be another step.
Yeah, we're waiving the standard procurement process, but we're not finishing every detail of the selection process. Because we're going into the alternative track, we have some flexibility.
It is intent to honor existing hiring preferences that exist or contracting preferences that exist in city procurement processes or city
hiring processes. We would be bound by that. What we're directing is that the city code 5.68 is waived and an alternative selection process such as a request for resumes will be used for determination.
But what criteria we apply to that, I think we have pretty broad flexibility since we're in the alternative track. So we could say, and I'm inclined to agree with you, that our policies that guide general procurement in terms of preferences for veterans and those kinds of policies will apply in this case as well. So we will probably have that option.
The coordinating committee will continue to meet every 2 weeks. Unfortunately, nobody from your office was able to come yesterday, but that's one of the bodies that will be putting forward a proposal. Then we'll have a selection advisory committee from the community stakeholders to continue to advise, to review what we're proposing and help with the selection process.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions, Council?
And then I do believe we have folks signed up to testify on this.
Carlos? We do. Mary has probably left. Mary Ng. And we have Joanne Hardesty and Dan Handelman.
Yes. Let's do that next, right after this. Yep, let's do it.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council members. For the record, I'm Joanne Hardesty, and today I'm here representing the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. And I want to start off by saying thank you very much to both Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz for understanding that this process has to be outside of what would normally be a traditional City of Portland procurement process. This position is so critical for the success of the reform that we're going to undertake based on a U.S. Department of Justice complaint and settlement agreement. And so this is a tiny piece. And I want to say I'm so proud of this City Council for continuing to move forward, even though there continues to be obstacles to getting anything accomplished as it relates to moving forward police reform efforts in the City of Portland.
You worked in the state legislature. You're familiar with obstacles.
I am definitely familiar with obstacles, but I've never had the kind of opposition that I've experienced in trying to reform our police department. But doesn't mean we're not going to do it. It just means it's going to be a hard thing to do. Since I have like about 30 seconds left, I also want to take this opportunity to thank Commissioner Novick. It's rare to have a politician publicly say, when I get more information, I actually make better decisions. Thank you very much for doing that. That's a model for politicians in this city. I appreciate that. And so we wholeheartedly support the proposal that's in front of you, and we look forward to working with all of you to make sure that we are putting the reforms in place that will outlive all of us, so that we have a city that actually works for all the people in it, regardless of race, ethnicity, age, disability, et cetera. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Council. Mayor Hales, I'm Dan Handelman with Portland Cop Watch. I'm also a member of the steering committee of the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. And I just want to point out that the ordinance mentions, if you read it all the way through, that the AMA Coalition met with your office and with Commissioner Fritz's office. And we do thank you for putting the community into the process of reforming the police, because one of the big concerns we had at Portland Cop Watch for years when people said, let's bring in the DOJ, is losing local control of our police. And the more we can keep things within our city, within our community, as we move forward, I think the better. And I'm very appreciative that the AMA Coalition and other community members will help draw up these defining documents for what this COCL will do. And I'm not even going to pronounce it as a word. Thanks. one of the things that is of concern is that what's written in the DOJ agreement, and as you know, the coalition has expressed concerns that it doesn't go far enough, that the COCL's job has some defined parameters in that document, but that doesn't mean it's limited to what's written in that document. So we could also make it so that that person can do more things than just what's written in there. I also just want to say that one of the biggest frustrations about that DOJ agreement document is that the COCL doesn't have standing in court. And there's nothing that we can do to change that, but I just want to make sure for the record that if something's written in as the things develop and the COCL gets that power, we want to make sure that that person is aware that they might be able to go to court and say, well, we don't think this is being followed properly or whatever. Because I think that's one of the things that would differ between this process and federal court-appointed monitors that they have in other cities. And finally, I guess the piece that Joanne was sort of making obscure reference to is that we still have outstanding issues with the Portland Police Association. I was the only person other than city staff, literally other than city staff, that appeared at the PPA negotiation session last Thursday. The PPA didn't show up, and I'm not sure whether that's going to continue. I think it's great that, Mayor, you're making efforts to ensure that the public has access to these discussions, because, there are public policy issues involved in the labor contracts as it stands, and the public pays the salaries of the police, and we have an interest in how that money is being spent. And I would like to say I did read the city attorney's opinion that you can't require that they be open meetings unless there's a decision-making body involved. I understand that, and I think that it would be great if people from a decision-making body came to those negotiations, and then they would be open meetings. So thank you.
Thank you, Tan. Thanks very much. Great. Anyone else signed up on this item?
That's all who signed up.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Further council discussion? And then a roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
I very much appreciate Commissioner Fritz's continuing work in this issue. Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, and I appreciate the partnership with the council offices and my colleagues on the council and also with the auditor's office. It is something that we all take very seriously. And the partnership with the community, with the Albina Ministerial Alliance and others is a good start, and we need to expand and continue that, which I am excited to see. And we will be expediting this with all due speed and also with all due transparency and accountability. So thank you, Mayor, for your partnership on this. Aye.
Fish?
Thanks to the community leaders who have been working on this and to the mayor and Commissioner Fritz. Aye.
Hales?
The Department of Justice settlement predated my arrival and Commissioner Novick's arrival on this council, but it is sound policy, both in letter and spirit, and you have my commitment and the council's commitment that we're going to continue to go step by step into full compliance with this agreement, and this is a very important step. Aye. Now, I would like to move, because we have an item here of importance and the chief here as well, to Commissioner Saltzman's proposal, item 764. So I'd like to take that out of order and let the chief and others testify about that. So could you read 764, please, Carla?
Authorize application to the Federal Emergency Management Agency for a grant in the amount of $4,554,394 for the 2013 Staffing for Adequate Fire and Emergency Response Grant Program to fund 26 firefighter positions for 2 years.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. As you can see, we have Portland Fire and Rescue Chief Aaron Jansen's here to provide a bit more information about this important grant application. But I just wanted to start out by providing some overall context. The budget deficit the City Council faced in this year's budget was the largest deficit I have dealt with in the 15 years that I've served on the City Council. We had to make some very difficult decisions, and unlike many other tough budgets that I've been through, we've had to actually make some cuts to our public safety bureaus. And that is something that's unfortunate. One result of that is the adopted budget required the layoff of 26 firefighters that were notified, I think, 2 weeks ago the layoffs would take effect on October 9th. Thankfully, we have the option before us to ask the Federal Emergency Management Agency to provide bridge funding for the next 2 years. In that time, hopefully, our economy will improve and get stronger than ever, and the City Council can reallocate ongoing general fund dollars to keep these 26 firefighter positions staffed and serving our community when the grant expires in 2 years. But that will be for another council to make the decision. And right now, we hope that FEMA sees the wisdom in providing us the important funding to keep these 26 firefighters working for the City of Portland. And with that, I'll turn it over to Fire and Rescue Chief Aaron Jansen.
Thank you, Commissioner. Is there a substitute ordinance that's been...
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I need to move a substitute ordinance.
Second.
Okay. I see it.
Yes.
I think basically the substitute just substitutes the fire and rescue chief to make the decision about how to allocate the money rather than the mayor.
Initially, yes. And then the mayor will sign the final application.
So just take a moment before you start the rest of your presentation and describe the difference between the substitute and the original ordinance. So that's
the only difference is the strikeout. The application states that they would like a chief officer from the requesting organization. And then the final episode, they've replaced mayor with fire chief.
Right.
And then the final application will have your signature.
Right.
And that's reflected in the accompanying memo that has the strikeout language.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how the grant requirement works. I have to sign
correct.
Them, but you get to you're the named party.
Okay. Right. Point of contact.
Right. Further council discussion of the amendment, then roll call to substitute the amended version for the council hearing.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye.
Chief.
Good morning, members of council. I've already been introduced.